You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
We're going to frame our discussion about identity with the most famous conversion story we read about in Scripture, the conversion of Saul to Paul. So if you would, turn to Acts 9, the story of Saul's conversion. We'll have it up on the screen as well to follow along. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any Christians there who belonged to the way, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see anything. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished. The story of Paul's conversion. So to set this up, Saul he's been persecuting Christians before, and now he is on the long, lonely journey from Jerusalem to Damascus. It's a 140-mile, week-long walk. And because of who he was, he had some companions on the way, but he would have been set apart from them. So he's essentially by himself on this long and lonely journey. And who is Paul at this point as he sets out to Damascus? It's important to understand who he was or who he thought he was. See, Paul was every man. Paul's everything that you or I or society aspires to be. He had a good family. He had a pure Jewish lineage, which was a big deal in Israel. His mother and father were both Jewish. He was the son of a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a special sect of Jewish people that strictly observed the law. They were considered essentially the spiritual athletes of the Jewish religion. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, which was an elite class in Israel. He came from a good family. He had a good education. He was sent to the University of Jerusalem to study Jewish law and divinity. He was tutored by a guy named Gamaliel, who is one of the most noted rabbis in history. He was an educated guy. He had a great profession. He was a tent maker, which was a common profession for Jewish scholars. And he had his religion. This was all bound up in his religious fervor. Again, he was a Pharisee. He was the son of a Pharisee. And it says in Galatians that he was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews his own age and was extremely zealous for the tradition of his father. Paul had been zealously persecuting Christians because they were perceived as a threat to Judaism. And in the Jewish culture, to zealously follow your faith, that was a well-respected quality. Paul had it all. Family, education, profession, religion. And then, in a moment, it changed. In a moment, Paul's world was turned upside down. In a moment, he discovered that everything he had found his identity in was wrong. These were all good things. They just weren't the right thing. the person he had become was not the person God had created him to be, and the life that he was living was not the life God had called him to. Paul had been the victim of identity theft, and he didn't even know it. But I suspect that Paul wasn't the only one. C.S. Lewis said this, "All that we call human history, all of human history, money, poverty, ambition, war, prostitution, classes, empire, slavery, all of it is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy." Now, I don't know about you, but I've been there. I'm still there, right? Trying to find stuff that will make me happy or give me value or find meaning to my life, or trying to become something or someone that I think I need to be, or that I think that somebody else thinks I need to be. And I could give you a bunch of examples, you know that, because it changes throughout our life. But as I was studying this, the example that came to mind was when I was in high school. And I think I've shared with some of you before, at that point in time, my identity was in relationships or lack thereof. You see, at the time, I didn't have a lot of girlfriends, okay? I was a skinny guy with a prominent nose. Not the muscle-bound hunk you see before you today. So women were not exactly beating down my door. And so I had a solution. I was going to become the funny guy, okay? The engaging funny guy. Now, how many here have seen the show Friends? Anyone? Yeah? How many remember the character Chandler Bing? Anyone? Yeah. So I wanted to become Chandler because I thought, hey, he's goofy and awkward too. And so I literally tried to become Chandler Bing. I went to the salon with a picture of this guy and said, could you cut my hair like him? And I remember looking in the mirror and lamenting the fact that I didn't have a receding hairline like him. Be careful what you wish for. And I even started to dress like the guy. I don't have pictures, but two homecomings in a row, I wore khaki pants, a white t-shirt, and a black sweater vest, because that's what he'd worn in an episode, and I thought it looked cool. In some of my free time, yeah, it's pathetic, but in some of my free time, I would look up Friends scripts on the internet, find the best lines, and memorize them. Now, I was trying to funny myself up. And the thing is, it kind of worked. Like, believe it or not, somebody actually wanted to go on a date or two with me, right? But the problem was I started to run out of material. You see, I was trying to be somebody I wasn't, right? So I'm trying to manufacture this persona. And I didn't know what to do. Actually, once somebody found me to be engaging, I'd go on a date with them, and then, in high school, you're trying to have phone calls at night, and I would script out, like, funny things to say, and yeah, right? You guys are just, like, this poor, poor soul. And I would ask my friends, if any of you have seen the movie Swingers, this idea of, okay, when do I call, how many days do I wait, what do I say? I would have my friends, like, put together a roadmap of how to be an engaging, funny, good boyfriend. And of course, or not surprisingly, I would get one or two dates in and that was it, because I ran out of material. See, folks, eventually, as we try to become people that we're not, we all run out of material. We all run out of lines. So let me ask you this morning, who are you trying to be? What is your identity? And this is not a rhetorical question, because we've all attached our lives to something. Maybe you find your identity in being a spouse or a parent. Maybe you find it in politics or in being an advocate on certain issues or in health or CrossFit or in your looks or your job, whatever it is. Or maybe it's the other side of the spectrum. Maybe you find your identity in weaknesses and insecurities and labels. I'm a worrier. I'm always sick. I'm fat. I'm thin. I'm smart. I'm stupid. Any of those sound familiar? You know, the scary thing is that many of the things I just listed, being a parent, being a spouse, having a good job, those aren't bad things, right? Those are good things. But the problem is that when we place our identity in those things, when we define our lives by those things at the expense of the only thing that really matters, we become the unwitting victims of identity theft too. It says in 1 John that love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. And the cold, hard reality is that this world is fading away, it says, along with everything that people crave. Sooner or later, we all run out of material. We all run out of lines. We either fail in the things that we're pursuing. We either fail to accomplish what we set out to, we fail to become what we want to be, and we find out that life is empty. Or we get those things. We pursue those things and we accomplish them, and guess what? We find out that life is still empty. You hear all the time about folks that have kids and they're all bound up in their identity as parents, and then the kids go to college, empty nesters, and they don't know what to do anymore. They don't know who they are. You hear about players in sports where all their lives they've played whatever sport it is, and win, lose, or draw, it comes time to retire, and they don't know what to do with themselves. It happens to all of us. When we place our identity in this stuff, we will always end up disappointed and lost. Identity is fleeting if it's not found on the right foundation. Identity is fleeting when it's not built on the right foundation. And what is that? Well, Paul found it in a moment. It's not family. That foundation is not education or profession or even religion. That foundation is Jesus. If there's anything you want to write down today, it is this. We find our true identity when we encounter Jesus Christ. And I think it's worth noting here that Paul certainly knew about Jesus before this moment. He certainly had heard of him because, after all, he was persecuting the people that were following Jesus. He knew about it. But this was the first time that he had encountered him. And we see it over and over and over in Scripture that when people encounter Jesus, when they have a relationship with him, mistaken identities crumble and true identities emerge. From the start of his ministry, Jesus is talking to Simon Peter and Andrew, and he says, "You think you're fishermen. I think you're fishers of men. That is your identity." In Luke 8, there's a demon-possessed man who Jesus comes upon. The guy doesn't know his name. He is naked. He is screaming. He's chained up. And Jesus heals him. And people came out to see what had happened. And there sits this guy at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. Jesus said, no, that isn't your identity. This is. I have something better for you. In John 9, Jesus heals the blind beggar, a guy that had been blind since birth. And Jesus spits in the dirt, takes the mud, puts it in the guy's eyes, and the guy's sight is restored. And nobody believes it's the same guy, because for so long, his identity has been the blind beggar. The religious authorities question him twice and bring in his parents because they don't believe it. His identity, his true identity, was changed. He came to know his identity in Christ. When we form a relationship with Christ, our identity is no longer based on what we do or our circumstances. It's based on who we know, a relationship that never changes. We find our value not based on results, but simply in his love for us. We find our value in his love for us. A love that Paul describes as so wide and long and high and deep that it surpasses all knowledge. Stephen Furtick, in his book, Crash the Chatterbox, is talking about overcoming lies and labels in life. And he says this, in Christ, your identity is secure and completely intact, because in Christ, who you are matters infinitely more than anything you do or cannot do. You know, every night before our kids go to bed, we tell them, Mommy and Daddy always love you no matter what. Every night. Because we want them to know that no matter what happens, no matter what anybody tells them, no matter their circumstance, the only thing that matters to us is that they are our kids, and we love them regardless. And Scripture tells us that we have that same relationship with God, that we are the adopted sons of God through Jesus Christ. Mommy and Daddy always love you no matter what. Because that relationship doesn't change, we get to live our lives in freedom, not in fear. We get to live our lives in confidence and not bound by restraints and constraints. We don't have to worry about the what ifs. What if the circumstances change? What if I don't live up to this expectation? When our identity is rooted in Christ, it empowers us to live and to really live and to live with newfound power and purpose and peace and healing and restoration and hope. Look at the stories, just three stories that we just talked about, Jesus helping people find their identities. We see all these things come to fruition there. So folks, why would we settle? Why would we settle for something short of that? Now, I love karaoke, okay? I love karaoke, maybe a little bit too much. You want to talk about Frank Sinatra or Will Smith? I can do it. But one of the best karaokeers I know is a guy I met in Sioux City. His name was John. He was one of the most attractive men I've ever met. And I know that because my wife would remind me of it often. More often than I'm comfortable with. But anyway, so John, he was a terrible singer, okay? Or at least he wasn't that good. But he was a big Vanilla Ice fan, okay? Has anybody heard the song Ice, Ice Baby, right? And this guy was a huge Vanilla Ice fan. He had all of his stuff. He went to tons of his concerts, lots of backstage interactions, even partied with the guy. He knew him, okay? And so one day I go out to karaoke with John, and of course he sings Ice, Ice Baby. And it's kind of a pedestrian performance by my standards. And no, you know, it wasn't anything special. But then as the lyrics of the song run out, and kind of the rest of the tune, the outro is playing, he busts out another verse. He had a hidden verse. Because he had gotten to know the author, the writer so well, that he'd gotten to know this hidden verse that wasn't just on the script. And the crowd went wild. Because they think this guy's an original. Folks, too often we're content to just learn the tune that everybody else thinks we should be singing. Too often we're content to stick to the script that everybody else thinks we should be singing. But God said, no, no, no. I didn't make you to stick to anybody else's script. You are an original. It says in Scripture that we are God's work of art. He created us to put together or to be a specific part of His entire body. We are unique. So folks, let's not settle for living a karaoke life. Let's get to know our Creator. Let's find out what hidden verse He has for our life. Let's get to know what specific plans He has in store for you, the greater plans. Think about Paul's incredible transformation. He goes from persecuting to preaching in a matter of days, all because he surrendered his plan for God's. All because when he placed his identity in Christ, he had the courage to go off script. And when God said, go here now, he went, got up and went. He knew that God's love would never let him down. And it says he gained power as he followed God's call. And people were astonished by his transformation. And what I love about this story, and one of the reasons I picked it to talk about identity, is we get this picture of Paul before his transformation, during, immediately after, and then we read in his letters, as he looks back, what he thinks about this whole deal. So what does Paul say? In Philippians, he says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I had a good life. That's what Paul's saying. But, he says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. Here's a guy who'd been through it all, folks. And he considers all that good stuff he had rubbish compared to knowing Jesus Christ and having identity in him. C.S. Lewis said, look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him, and with him everything else thrown in. Do you want to find him this morning, folks? Do you want to find your true identities this morning? It is symbolic to me that in this story, it is Jesus that comes to Paul. And that Jesus knows his name. Because guess what, folks? He knows each and every one of our names too. And he is always, hear that, always pursuing a relationship with us. And maybe you say, hey, I've never been struck down by a blinding light. Well, folks, there are lots of lights here this morning. Maybe he's been there waiting to talk, and you just haven't been listening. Because I think it's interesting that, you know, Paul had to become blind to really be able to see. To be able to see what God had for him. So let's spend some time this morning just seeking to encounter the Lord. Let's spend some time asking him to quiet all the static, all the crud that's filling our minds and keeping us from him. And let's just seek to hear him, encounter him, and embark or re-embark on a journey with him to find or rediscover our true identities. You know, the beautiful thing about the story of Paul is that there is no unused portion of his life. Even after he was transformed, he is consistently talking about all the garbage in his past and how his life was, his identity was misaligned. So no matter where you've been, where you are, where you will be, whatever missteps and foibles and fumbles there are along the way, God will use that for his glory. We just have to continue to encounter and walk with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the identity that we have in you. We thank you that you are our rock, and that when we build our lives on you, we have a firm foundation that will never fail. I pray, Lord God, that as we worship in this time, you would show us how to realign our lives. Lord, you would just encounter us, meet us where we are, Lord, and show us what you have for us. Let us hear your voice and give us the faith to respond. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.